Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
A high wind. Yesterday, and he was talking about, holy cow, the wind that was whipping through, and I looked out the window, and the street light was, the really tall, you know, street light pole was like swaying back and forth. It was crazy. Insane winds, 60-70 mile an hour winds across western Montana yesterday. I think those same winds ended up sweeping across. People in Helena were saying the wind was crazy. Then the wind gets crazy in Billings. Now we should be getting a bunch of snow over the next couple of days as well. I think they're already talking about a blizzard in northeastern Montana. So basically yesterday was kind of a batten down the hatches day. And then leading into this morning, a continue to batten down the hatches morning for some of our listeners across the state of Montana as well. But I guess we had a power outage at our Billings studios last night. So you never know how that could impact things. So we're kind of testing around with our phone lines right now so that we can get those back up and running, because that's the most important part of the show, is giving you the chance to be heard across Montana and giving us the chance to get a chance to hear from you as well. So that's always the best part of the show. Thankfully, we've got a ton of stuff to talk about here in the meantime. And we've got some other options, you know, like we used last week, when your phones can have a temporary dip. Of course, you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, that's one thing. Hadn't even got a chance to pop in there yet. Yeah, you can shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app. If you got something you want to talk about here this morning as well. Let's see, what is today is December 18th already. That is crazy. Okay, the reason why I was wondering is because, yeah, we've got a lot of content racked and stacked for you already. Of course, Wednesday, big thanks to everybody who helped out. Big thanks to our friends at Warriors and Quiet Waters for helping with this incredible guest lineup that we had for our four-hour radiothon event, promoting and helping to raise money for Warriors and Quiet Waters. The Bozeman-based incredible veterans organization. Great time catching up with so many great folks yesterday. Full audio on the Montana Talks app or on Spotify if you missed it. Let's see. Today, there was something. Senator Tim Sheehy was in on this briefing in back on Capitol Hill, the classified briefing, talking about the strikes on the narco-terrorist drug boats. You know, the Democrats call them fishermen, you know, kind of like the Democrats call men women and women men and or whatever other furry genders they want to come up with. You know, they're not drug narco terrorists. They're fishermen, just like the Maryland man is a guy who's not even, you know, a Maryland man. He's from another country. He's an illegal alien in this country. Anyway, Tim Sheehy had some great remarks coming out of that briefing. I'll get to that and more after this.
Securing America.
A House Foreign Relations Subcommittee hearing Tuesday examined the actions of China and Russia against the U.S. and Europe, with Republican Texas Congressman Keith Self saying in no uncertain terms,
"Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war."
He further explained that China and Russia
are stopping at nothing at undermining our United States and our allies.
Committee members and witnesses described a pattern of hybrid warfare, which includes covert efforts, including cyber attacks, in addition to potential traditional military action. Witness Christopher Walker, the vice president of the Center for European Policy Analysis, testified the key is to sow destabilization.
That strikes at the foundations of U.S. national security and undermines American strategic influence.
Europe was described by all as a key battleground in maintaining the status quo. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, you want?
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so I did go down and do kind of a rundown. I went and checked the social media feeds, the X feeds for our various National Weather Service offices here in Montana. And I think somebody from National Weather Service office in Billings might be joining us here later in the hour so we can talk more about the crazy winds, the crazy weather that was whipping across the state yesterday. And we're going to get some crazy weather again here. You know, Montana is, if Missouri is the show me state, Montana is the severe weather state. Montana is the show me the severe weather state, and you'll get it in Montana. You get extreme heat in the summer. You get extreme cold in the winter, which, by the way, you're getting it in northeast Montana right now. When I get into some of these posts on X here, you're going to get crazy winds. You're going to get crazy snow. You're going to get crazy flood. You're going to get crazy everything in Montana. But, of course, we're also a major landmass. I mean, one corner of Montana to the other is like driving from Chicago to Washington, D.C. I've made that drive myself. Now, for those of you who haven't made the drive, it's a long drive. All right, here we go. In no particular order, from the National Weather Service office in Missoula. This was about 20 hours ago. They were summing up the windy morning. Some of the highest wind gusts that they had reported so far yesterday morning. They cover parts of Idaho as well. Greer Grade, Idaho, 73-mile-an-hour winds. Kalispell, 67-mile-per-hour winds. Missoula, 63. Plains, Montana, 69. And Butte, 62-mile-per-hour winds. So that's what we were seeing and feeling and hearing yesterday. And, of course, they also sent a summary of the local storm reports that they had gathered. And instead of focusing primarily on weather itself, they actually, the report that they shared, and if you go to x.com/Aaron Flint right now, you'll see it. The summary that they sent out focused primarily on the damage rather than the wind gusts itself. And so really on highways and roads all across western Montana, I mean, you had trees on the roads. You had, you know, down trees everywhere. You had power lines down. All of downtown Kalispell was basically out of power yesterday morning. In fact, Flathead County basically has declared a state of emergency. We'll talk more about that specifically later on in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. You guys know the cross that stands on the hill outside of Big Fork. You know, you're right there at the Flathead River before the river, you know, goes into Flathead Lake right there in Big Fork. That beautiful white cross right there. The wind knocked down the inspirational cross near Big Fork. That's how bad the wind was. I've got those photos on our Montana Talks website right now. Shared that story yesterday afternoon. Our friends in Livingston would have thought this was a photo out of Livingston, but no, there was a semi that completely flipped over on its side, and that wasn't in Livingston. That was between Kalispell and Summers, right before you hit the intersection to turn over to Big Fork. You know, interstate. You know, a semi completely flipped over on its side. One of the craziest videos, actually, after the show yesterday, I went out and picked up a couple of books from Tom Opry, a guest we had on the show earlier this week. He produced this documentary called The Real Yellowstone, and now he's got a book that he put together about the documentary essentially as well. And so I went to pick up some of those books and was chatting with him, and he showed me that video out of the Bitterroot Valley. Did you guys see this video? It's out of the Bitterroot Valley, and you had pine trees basically falling, crack, 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 crack. Pine trees were just falling like dominoes in the Bitterroot Valley. I've got that video on our Montana Talks website as well. I think KPAX had shared it, so I was able to embed that into our website for you. So, I mean, that just gives you just a sample of some of the craziness. The National Weather Service office in Billings about 13 hours ago noted that the strong to extreme wind gusts, 60 to 80 miles per hour ongoing, were expected to continue across the area last night and into Thursday, even into this morning. So some of you are probably still being hit by the wind here this morning. And then now let's look ahead. Let's look at what they're putting out there right now. The National Weather Service office in Billings says a prolonged period of mountain snowfall is forecast today through Saturday. Friday night into Saturday, the snow may spread into the foothills. So it looks like the bulk of that is hovering over, you know, Cook City. You know, mainly the bulk of that will be in the upper mountains there, in the upper Beartooth and into Yellowstone National Park. So that's where the bulk of that is expected. But I know a lot of people are heading to Great Falls for the big wrestling tournament this weekend. So I think they're expecting snow for that as well. So in other words, just, hey, pay very careful attention to those weather forecasts, those road reports and everything before making your movement. Here we go, though. The cold temperatures, though. The National Weather Service office in Glasgow, bitter cold temperatures. They cover northeast Montana. Bitter cold temperatures this morning with north to northwest winds will produce wind chills minus 15. It's not February yet. They'll get to minus 55. You just wait. You can have the bragging rights in February. But no, just let me correct that. Wind chills minus 15 to minus 35 across the advisory area. A cold advisory remains in effect until 10 o'clock this morning. So that was just sent out from the National Weather Service office in Glasgow. Apparently they've got a blizzard warning that was in effect until 6 o'clock this morning, so just about 20 minutes ago. So anyway, that's just what I was able to quickly gather on social media from the various National Weather Service offices across Montana. I think coming up around 6:40, we'll have somebody from the NWS Billings with us on this show to talk more about what all they saw and what all's happening. But back right after this. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some cloudiness around the area today, a few rain or snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. High temperatures will stay in the lower to middle 40s. For tonight, with cloudy skies, still could see a few snow showers mixed with rain towards the Bozeman area, with overnight lows staying back around the mid-30s. Then on Friday, with some scattered rain showers mixing with snow in spots, highs reaching the 50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Thursday morning, I'm Lane Northmon. It has been quite the last few days in terms of weather. We've had cold weather, we've had snow, rain. Parts of Western Ag Network country seen severe wind up to 100 miles per hour. I think I lost a little topsoil that's already up in northern Alberta at this point. With this recent weather event on our minds, what is 2026 shaping up to be? Last week, I sat down with agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, who's based out of Colorado Springs, and he shares more on the current state of La Nina and what's to come.
We are going to be changing things in a significant way in the Pacific Ocean. So this La Nina episode has basically peaked. We'll mess around with this for probably about another month, but I'm expecting La Nina to be out of here as soon as late January. And we're going to have a real small window, I think, of neutrality there, where it's not going to be La Nina or El Nino, and then we're going into an El Nino a little bit later on this year, maybe as early as May. Even if it doesn't show up as May, I think for the heart of the summer. So I think the message is we are going to see some significant changes in the Pacific, and whenever that happens, that usually means we're going to see some significant changes and some impacts as far as weather is concerned, certainly for the rest of this winter.
So what is the forecast in terms of moisture or dry conditions?
If you're in the Pacific Northwest, if you're across the Northern Rockies, there's a real good chance that we're going to continue to see good moisture, at least on the front end of 26. That's going to continue across Northern Plains, the Midwest. The West and the Southwestern High Plains, they're going to have a different story, at least early on, okay? The La Nina that's going on, it may completely shut some folks out in West Texas of getting any moisture for the month of December. And some of that pattern's going to bleed over into January, February, and perhaps even a little bit of March. So there's going to be a pretty sharp gradient, from Southwest to Northeast across the midsection of the country about who's getting what. And I know there's always gradient.
For my entire video podcast conversation with meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, visit WesternAgNetwork.com or just look up the Langcast Ag Podcast wherever you enjoy podcasts.
Want a chance at winning over $20,000 in cash and prizes and proving your cattle are the best in Montana? Well, the Montana Stock Growers Foundation is now accepting donations for this year's Cattle Drive program. And the champion steer takes home an equipment package worth over $17,000. Plus, Montana Breed Associations are chipping in with cash prizes for top performing genetics. Not to mention, donors receive valuable carcass data and a charitable tax deduction. Contact the Montana Stock Growers Foundation today to join this year's Cattle Drive program.
Hello, everybody. This is Ty Thompson, the public auctioneer here in Billings. Our annual Northland Stock Cow and Bred Heifer Sale coming up here this Friday on the 19th. We've expanded it to 2 days. There will be over 5,600 head of bred females. Go to publicauctioneers.com, see all the detailed consignments. You can view, bid, and buy at cattleusa.com. But that's the annual Northland Stock Cow and Bred Heifer Sale. Over 5,600 bred females, December 19th and 20th at Pays in Billings, Montana.
America's sheep producers say they're facing mounting pressure from imported lamb that's threatening their long-term viability. The American Sheep Industry Association is urging immediate federal action to resolve this and pushing for a Section 201 trade investigation to restore fair competition. ASI is asking sheep producers and industry stakeholders to contact their U.S. senators and urge them to sign a Dear Colleague letter supporting the investigation. Now, signatures are needed by Friday, December 19th. On the Hill, the effort is being spearheaded by Congressman Doug LaMalfa of California. More information can be found at sheepusa.org. I'm Lee Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Look at how easily I got distracted there. I was going to play that soundbite from Senator Tim Sheehy talking about the strikes on the narco-terrorist drug boats, and then I started talking about the crazy weather, and man, before you know it, boom, we ran out of time. Hey, we've got a great guest with us on the line right now. Hopefully she can hear me, because I tried to do a little test here during the break, and for some reason, this Microsoft Teams thing, that thing's continued to be just be, I don't know about you guys, if you ever do these Microsoft Teams things, and it's like, okay, is it going to work today or is it not going to work today? She's going to give me a call on my cell phone, though, so that'll work out. So Mandy Gunasekera, I thought here as we start to approach the end of the year, by the way, I'll be with you guys all the way up through Christmas Eve. We're gonna be live on Christmas Eve that morning. I burned up so many vacation days already, especially with having to get that nose surgery taken care of. So I burned up so many vacation days. So I'm going to be working all the way till Christmas. But that's all right, because we're going to spend Christmas Eve with you here on the show. But one of the things that we've been doing, we've been reaching out to a lot of our contacts. I really want to put together some specific kind of year in review wrap ups here, where we focus on, you know, the accomplishments. Really, we've got to focus on the accomplishments of the Trump administration, and frankly, a lot of the accomplishments of the Republican Congress here over the past year as well. It's been a remarkable 11 months. I know we all still want to see much more, but man, look at all of the accomplishments. In fact, President Trump talked about that very thing last night. We've got Mandy Gunasekera. Hopefully Mandy can hear me. Mandy, how are you doing?
I can. Good morning. I'm great.
Hey, good morning. Well, thanks for being flexible with us here with the technology this morning. But yeah, Mandy Gunasekera was the EPA chief of staff in President Trump's first term. What a remarkable first year it has been. Not even a full first year yet for President Trump again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think this is a testament to a lot of things. One is his experience of having done this before. And then the 4 years that he wasn't in the White House. He didn't sit idly by. No one would ever expect that of President Trump, but he nor his team sat idly by. And what they did, I was a part of some of these groups of folks coming up with plans of action. They came up with day one priorities, so there would be no lost time. I think it was a big lesson learned from the first go-round, any of us that were in there, myself included, that we wasted some really precious time during those first few months. So this go-round, day one, that's why you had a flurry of executive orders, the president's side, reshaping the priorities of the nation, making sure he was going to unleash American energy, putting in motion the One Big Beautiful Bill to bring the largest tax cuts and taking care of safety and other important domestic issues that had gone by the wayside during the Biden administration. So the things that President Trump has put in motion himself directly and then his cabinet leaders at the various agencies, it is unbelievable. And the American people, they're starting to see some of the benefits, mainly downward pressure on prices when it comes to the cost of gasoline and what you pay at the pump and other areas, cost of groceries. But those benefits will really get even bigger and better as the year goes on and as we go into this next year. Many of those policies take time to be implemented, and they are well on their way to the benefit of the American people, as President Trump promised he would do.
Especially the lowering of energy prices, the lowering of gas prices, that is going to have remarkable impacts on the economy moving forward. I think you combine that with these incredible trillions and trillions of dollars.
Aaron, sorry, did I lose you?
You should be hearing me. You got me now? Yeah, you should still have me here. I'm not sure what's going on here. All right, we did have some power outages and things yesterday. Mandy, do you still got me? That's weird. Okay. I was everything was connected here with my phone and everything. So, okay, there it's ringing once again here. Let's see. All right, Mandy. Yeah, I had you that whole time. So, but for some reason, you couldn't hear me. Hopefully, it sounds like you got me now though.
I do. I can hear you now. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, that's all right. No, beautiful, clean coal in Colstrip, Montana. When it comes to unleashing American energy, this is one of the most important accomplishments of this administration from a Montana first perspective, in my book anyway.
Yeah, certainly for Montana. That local economy is hugely dependent on the development of this wonderful natural resources we are abundantly blessed with, but it's also good for America. This is a part of the America First vision, and a key pillar of that is the energy dominance agenda. And one of the aspects that President Trump is great is going in and saying what shouldn't have been said for many years, and that's the reality that coal is an important fundamental energy resource that we need to use, not just for the benefit of Montana, but for the benefit of all. And he has really gotten away with unnecessary barriers the last administration erected, making it impossible to mine, refine, and use coal across this great nation. And coal is wonderful for so many different aspects. It's affordable, it's reliable, but also it creates on-site energy security, because you can store it in massive piles. And I'm sure y'all are much more familiar with this in Montana than where I live in Mississippi, but when the weather gets really, really cold and you need lots of energy to keep people's homes and buildings at safe temperatures, you want coal, because you can just scoop it up, put it in, and it's going to provide that life-saving energy that Americans need. President Trump understands that. He understands the dynamics of domestic energy security as well as international energy security, and that's why he also prioritized the development of clean, beautiful coal, as he rightfully calls it.
Well, and the other interesting thing here as we approach the year end, and we've only got about a minute to go here with Mandy Gunasekera, is the bottom is completely falling out from underneath these climate alarmists. These climate alarmists have totally lost the narrative.
Yeah, they have. That's because the Americans are tired of their agenda of fear. Americans also, I mean, this goes back to when I was first working on climate issues in the Senate. This was in the early 2010s, and there were constantly these polls of the American people and international people, but the American people importantly. And it would ask them to rank the most important issues consistently. In the history of these polls, the very bottom issue is climate change. And that's because they understand that quote-unquote, I think a lot of people, one, see through the policy by fear and the exaggeration. I think a lot of people do see through that. But also, it comes with these massive costs for very limited, tangible benefit. And that just doesn't make sense. Why bankrupt the entire economy or bankrupt entire states, cities, or businesses just so somebody sitting in Washington, D.C. can say that you met this arbitrary standard that aligns with a political goal?
And then they line their pockets with the whole scam at the same time as well. Mandy Gunasekera, great to have you on the show. I got to run to the break, but thanks for your time.
Christmas Tree Lot is...
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby.
Legendary KISS bassist Gene Simmons recently implored lawmakers to pass legislation which could secure payments for artists when their music is played on the radio. Simmons, sans makeup, told a Senate subcommittee that the American Music Fairness Act would require radio companies pay artists for use of their recordings on the air. Currently, only songwriters get royalties from radio airplay, not the artists who perform the track. And it doesn't matter if it's a lead performer or backing musicians. Simmons told senators that some of the biggest artists of all time, who often sang other people's work, never got paid for the copious radio airplay of their music. He mentioned Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, and Elvis Presley. Simmons noted that other countries, including Russia and China, pay both songwriters and performers for radio airplay, and some countries have even taken to withholding royalties from American performers because their artists aren't compensated for U.S. airplay. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I will get to that Sheehy soundbite. I'll probably save that for next hour of the show when our friend David Noble is with us. We'll cover a whole host of topics, you know, national news, state news, you name it. Plus, David always brings some other very interesting concepts to the table. That'll be coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Right now, though, I kicked off the show talking about all the wild wind and the crazy weather that we saw yesterday. And then, of course, parts of the state, I think, are going to see a lot of snow coming up here over the next few days as well. We've got, from the National Weather Service office in Billings, William McEwen Robbie now with us on the phone lines here. William, thanks for being with us here this morning. I'll bet it was a crazy day for you guys yesterday.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I was busy across the entire state and actually across the entire country yesterday.
First off, what was going on all across the country yesterday?
Yes, we had kind of a really dynamic weather system moving in off the Pacific coast, and it kind of translated into a pretty strong low pressure system developing pretty much over Montana, which gave a lot of the Rocky Mountain front all the way from Canada down through like the Denver area really strong winds throughout the day yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, it seems like you'll have high wind events that'll hit, you know, like when you had that high wind event that came through Miles City, it kind of hit that area, or a high wind event that came through Missoula when Missoula lost all of those trees, what, a year or two ago. And yesterday I was wondering if that's what was happening in the Flathead, because you had, you know, this very inspirational cross that was blown over by the winds in Big Fork. You had the semi flipped over between Summers and Kalispell, but it was like then you started seeing, I was like, no, like trees falling in the Bitterroot, like dominoes, crazy winds in Helena, all over the place, Billings, and ended up getting some power outages not only in Kalispell but in Billings as well. And then the High Line was getting hammered, so it was really across the entire state, severe weather.
Oh yeah, and you mentioned the northwest part of the state too. So they actually saw some flooding. I'm sure you've heard of a few days ago.
Yeah.
So when you get all that rain and that water that seeps into the soil, it makes the soil more malleable and able to move around a little more. So when you get those winds right afterwards, those trees are much more likely to fall over.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. In fact, Libby and Troy still concerns about some potential flooding in the Troy area, I think along the Yak River in particular. But, I even saw one of our friends, one of our social media friends in Libby, Alyssa Wanders, who shares a lot of content on the Montanica Facebook page. She even had what looked like a sinkhole develop in her backyard that she was posting about on Facebook. So, yeah, all sorts of things you got to be very careful about, very leery of right now. I mean, I saw somewhere else, I think it was in Idaho, you had two school kids were injured by trees that fell during the high wind event while they were just waiting for their school bus.
Oh, yeah, the high winds, it could be really dangerous. And, of course, the winds themselves aren't dangerous, but what the winds knock down and blow around, that's where the real danger is. So you want to make sure that you're not standing under a tree like that or you're watching for debris. So, of course, the best place to be in high winds is inside and sheltered.
Yeah, and, you know, Montanans know this, with cold temperatures and a lot of snow coming to parts of the state as well. There might be some folks that say, hey, you know what, maybe let's just hold off on our travel plans for a couple of days.
Yeah, actually, we're looking at another round of snow possibly coming and starting today. for our area, like the Absarca Beartooth Mountains, we're looking at potentially 2 feet of snow falling by Saturday.
Wow. Going back to yesterday again, talk about some of the, what were the numbers that stood out to you, whether it was wind or anything else?
Yeah, so in our forecast area, so we cover roughly from the Bozeman Pass area all the way to the Dakotas border. The strongest wind gust we saw in our forecast area was a 93-mile-an-hour gust, and that was in the Crazy Mountains. But talking about just the lower elevations where our humans actually live, the strongest gust we saw was an 88-mile-an-hour gust, and that was in Livingston.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, and of course, Livingston is very familiar with those high wind gusts, but even for Livingston, that one is a... And then damage reports. I saw National Weather Service office out of Missoula shared kind of a whole summary of various damage reports. They had downed power lines over highways, over roadways, downed trees in the road, everything like that. So in I think even Flathead County even declared a state of emergency, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and we have gotten plenty of damage reports in our area, too. Still trying to compile all those because, as you can imagine, there's a lot of data we still have to comb through. But I've gotten several reports of some semis blown over on the U.S. Highway 191, like the Harleston to Big Timber area. Of course, a lot of trees and power lines down. I saw several news articles about power lines down all across the city of Billings. And actually, speaking about the city of Billings, the ASOS, so the observing station at the Billings Airport, gusted to 79 miles per hour, which is actually the strongest wind gust Billings has ever seen in the month of December. And the records go back to 1934 on that one.
Wow. So what's the holiday kind of long-term forecast look like for your neck of the woods when you're looking at, you know, heading into Christmas and then heading into New Year's? You know, are we going to continue to see this severe kind of craziness in the weather, or is it going to normalize?
Yeah.
You might have lost me on, are you having trouble hearing me there? I know our technology's been having trouble. Yeah, sounds like I think he might have lost me on my phone line here. We had a power outage yesterday at our studios, so I know it's been kind of wreaking a little bit of havoc with our systems even here into this morning. But I think we may have William back with us, William McHugh and Robbie with the National Weather Service office in Billings. William, sorry about it. At least I warned you about the technical challenges this morning, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, I don't know if I don't think you heard my question because it sounded like the phone was starting to cut out there. But basically, like, for the long-term holiday forecast, what are you looking at? Are we just going to see your normal kind of late December, early January weather for Montanans? Or could we see some more severe spikes like flooding and winds and things like that, too?
Yeah, so in the short term, we're looking at not really anything in the way of a big pattern change. So pretty much continuing with what we have right now. That being said, we're not forecasting right now any big events like that, any big flooding events, any big wind events, but these things are pretty dynamic and they take shape pretty quickly. So always make sure that you're watching the forecast because things, especially in the state of Montana, can change very quickly and can be quite destructive, as we just saw.
How quick of a warning, how early of a warning did we have on some of these high wind events? Because, kind of doing an after-action review, was this something that kind of took everybody by surprise, or was the information able to get put out there? I mean, but you're right. I mean, even folks will sometimes get the warnings, but never sometimes even truly realize how serious that might be, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and this event was a particularly very strong event, as I'm sure everyone experienced. So we actually saw signals that this could be very strong about a week in advance from some of our weather models. So we started taking notice here in our office and started messaging in little hints. And then as we got closer to the event, like kind of around the Saturday, Sunday time frame, that's when we started putting out real big messaging saying, hey, this is going to be a big one. And we issued a high wind watch that eventually transitioned into a high wind warning, of course. And especially yesterday, we were getting real concerned about the potential for some pretty destructive winds. And this is the type of event that we typically call like a 1 in 10 year event. So you see an event like this once every decade, pretty much.
Yeah, I did see, I did confirm here. Yeah, I was going to say, I was pretty sure that I heard that the Flathead County Commissioners had declared basically a state of emergency following the high winds that went through. And yeah, I double checked. The FlatheadBeacon.com has this. Flathead County Commissioners declare local emergency. Crews are working to restore, with Flathead Electric Cooperative working to restore service to the roughly 27,000 members who remain without power. And then I saw the Billings Gazette has a story here. Ferocious gusts batter Montana, snapping trees, shuttering services, a door blown off its hinges in Pablo, roofs ripped off in Cutbank, multiple 18-wheelers tossed onto their sides in the middle of major roadways roadways across Montana. So, yeah, tens of thousands of folks across the state lost power. And, yeah, I feel especially for those folks in Lincoln County. They're still recovering from all the flooding impacts and everything. William McEwen, Robbie, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for all you and the folks at the National Weather Service office do for us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Greatly appreciated. Let's see. Coming up after the break here. You know what? I'll play the soundbite from Senator Tim Sheehy coming up here right after this. I will have that one queued up, ready to roll for you right away, because I mentioned it at the top of the hour. And then, yeah, we had to start getting into some of this important weather news of the day here. So I'll get to that one coming up here right after this. Yeah, so many other big things in the news here on this Thursday morning. Jared Isaacman he has now been confirmed as President Trump's NASA administrator. That's great news. Dan Bongino out as the deputy FBI director. So I'll get into that. Yeah, Dan Bongino is stepping down as deputy director of the FBI. Tell you about that one and more this morning as well. And of course, President Trump's address last night. We got to get to some highlights.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It is inexcusable that a university in this day and age, especially one with an $8 billion endowment, they didn't have AI, up-to-date, latest technology, security cameras on covering every square inch of that campus. And by the way, I would include inside of every classroom that's being monitored by live agents 24/7. The fact that at this late date, what is it, 5 days later, we don't have, you know, a facial recognition picture and acknowledge who this person is, it's unforgivable.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, with the cold now swiftly descending on Europe, especially Ukraine, well, it is impacting so many elderly people. Like, for example, a woman by the name of Olga. Now, it could be deadly. She's 79 years old. She lives in a small village. She has no indoor plumbing, no reliable heating. She doesn't have enough money to cover food, medicine, and heat. But thanks to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Olga now receives a nourishing food box, emergency lighting, and a warm blanket. Now, this aid is a life-saving gift for someone like Olga. Now, as another brutal winter is beginning, thousands of elderly people like Olga, they are praying for a miracle. And you could make that miracle happen through the special matching grant going on right now. Your gift today will have twice the impact, up to the first $50,000. Anyway, please rush your gift now. Call toll-free. It's 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-4325. Online, it's HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some cloudiness around the area today, a few rain or snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. High temperatures will stay in the lower to middle 40s. For tonight, with cloudy skies, still could see a few snow showers mixed with rain towards the Bozeman area, with overnight lows staying back around the mid-30s. Then on Friday, with some scattered rain showers mixing with snow in spots, highs reaching the 50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, check out what we got coming for you with Thursday's Montana Talks. So last month, when I was broadcasting live from the Montana Farm Bureau Convention, there was a speaker at the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula who apparently gave such a great presentation that everybody who attended the presentation wanted a copy of it afterwards. We're going to have that speaker talking global ag trade and so much more. He's going to join us, Jacob Shapiro, on Thursday's Montana Talks right here, statewide, 9 to 10. Hey, you
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I just got an alert here from the New York Times that I thought was very interesting. Breaking news: U.S. inflation unexpectedly slowed in November. In a report likely rising 2.7% from a year ago, in a report likely distorted by the government shutdown. So the New York Times is saying, well, inflation went down, but it's probably because of the government shutdowns. they downplayed the Democrats shutting down the government and the impacts of the Democrats shutting down the government. But now that another report shows inflation coming down thanks to President Trump and the Republican Congress's efforts, well, God, no, we think inflation just went down. Ah, that's just an anomaly here. That's the only reason why that's happening. All right, let's go to Senator Tim Sheehy, a Navy SEAL veteran. They had a bipartisan briefing. I think it was a classified briefing the other day on Capitol Hill, talking about these narco-terrorist drug boat strikes. See, the Democrats are all freaked out, or at least pretending to be freaked out with faux outrage. They just want to change the narrative to something else. Why aren't the Democrats demanding bipartisan briefings on Capitol Hill for the drug dealers that are killing innocent Americans and the security situation in some of American cities? They don't care. They don't care about you. You know, if you're on the Fort Peck reservation and you're a grandmother raising your grandkids because you lost both of your sons to the drugs that the narco terrorists are bringing into America, they don't demand briefings to get answers for you about your security situation. But a couple narco terrorists are killed in the middle of the ocean. They demand briefings. They demand briefings. And then they distort the briefings afterwards with their comments before the press. Senator Tim Sheehy, Rapid Response 47, the Trump White House, highlighting this. Tim Sheehy just destroyed the radical Democrats when it comes to the narco terrorist drug boats. Here's what he had to say in basically an ad hoc press conference after the briefing.
To go after the brave men and women in uniform who are conducting these attacks is to indict the very system that was used bipartisanly for the last 24 years. I personally was involved in many of these operations, from kinetic strikes to direct action operations. And the process we have is legally sound. It's been supported by legal opinions for a quarter century now of how we find these people, we fix them, and we finish them. And keep in mind, if we don't drop a bomb, when we decide to interdict, as is being said by many folks, we have an obligation to send a team to interdict. When we make that decision, you're putting our lives at risk. You're putting Americans' lives at risk. Just about a year and a half ago, you remember two SEALs were killed interdicting a vessel at night in the Red Sea. Interdicting a vessel underway is perhaps the most dangerous mission we have in our entire military inventory. When we task our commandos to go out and attack a vessel underway, that's an incredibly high-risk mission. So when folks say, well, we should be interdicting, that's easy for you to say here in this building between two cups of cappuccinos. It's a lot harder to send that 24-year-old operator out there who's got a wife and kids and tell him in the middle of the night you got to fast jump out of a helicopter, scuba dive under a ship, climb up the side of that, and fight your way onto a vessel, because we're more worried about the lives of drug dealers than we are our own people. And that's a high-risk mission.
All right. Yeah, spot on there. But that's a guy talking from actual experience, actual background in this sort of stuff. That's why, you know, having Senator Sheehy back there is such a breath of fresh air. Not only to get some younger leadership in there, but somebody who's actually got some dirt under their fingernails that knows exactly what they're talking about, instead of some of these career politicians who don't know squat but pretend to know everything
and second guess the people out there actually doing the job and undermine the people actually doing the job and protecting America. And now you've got somebody who's actually done that job, who can come in and speak some common sense and push back at all of the stupidity back there in Washington, D.C. But, yeah, here's the Democrats. Men can be women. Women can be men. Narco-terrorists floating around in the ocean are just simply fishermen.
From the How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Song again. Here's that song again.
For the 100th time today.
Here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times. Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.